Hello, I'm George Staines, your host, and welcome to Dog in the Spotlight. Again, we are joined by Lori Cavello Phillips, who is always on the hunt for her ideal dog. And Lori, you have a message for us.
I do. So you can follow us on Instagram at Dog in the Spotlight using underscores, and you can subscribe to this podcast on any popular podcast platform.
And we are also joined today by Trevor, friend and vet, who'll be telling us about the health issues we have on this particular breed. And today's Dog in the Spotlight is an extremely popular breed, and we've had many requests. It is the Golden Retriever.
Okay. Mm, yes.
The excitement there. And before... I don't know why we're laughing about this. But before we do put the Golden Retriever under the spotlight, we have Dog in the News. In this week's Dog in the News, we're going to be looking at the difference between the UK and the US at the breeding and selling of puppies. Now, Trevor has done a bit of research into this, and I have as well. So, Trevor, what's your experience in the US of breeding purebreds? We're going to be looking at purebreds today. Tell us more about the genetics and the breeding, etc., of in the US.
Yeah, I think we just kind of were casually having a conversation about how here in America... I don't want to say it's looked down on to have a purebred dog. It's absolutely not. And certainly lots of people have them, and they have them and they use them in the ways that the breed was manufactured for. But there is somewhat of a stigma assigned to purchasing a dog when there's lots of dogs and shelters and things that warrant adoption, or even purebred dogs that warrant rescuing. And so we were just talking about how here we have the reason that is because we have millions of animals. I read one statistic recently was 4 to 5 million shelter pets are euthanized every year. And so there's lots of pets out there that are healthy. Not all of those are healthy, but there's a lot of those that are healthy that just don't have a place to go. And you can imagine a situation where if you have breeders that are pumping out purebred dogs and an owner has the option of getting this purebred dog or adopting a shelter dog, if they're purchasing a dog, that is one less dog that didn't get rescued from a shelter.
And so it's
go ahead.
It's a huge initiative over here, isn't it, of adopt, don't shop.
Exactly, yeah.
And I think I completely agree with that personally.
And I completely agree. Like on our Instagram, we told you that Trevor's top three purebreds, but Trevor would always go for a mutt or a mongrel dog. Mm-hmm. However, we're also looking at the breeding and the selling of the dogs. Now, in the UK, it's banned from selling in puppy stores, in pet shops. Mm. You don't have puppy mills. Whereas I was very surprised when I came over here. And I think on our last episode, we were talking about when we saw that Australian Shepherd in a puppy store. Being British, you suddenly feel a bit guilty going into these places because you know they come from these puppy mills. And inevitably, if you're just constantly pouring out loads and loads of puppies, the genetic background of them is not going to be as healthy as if you're having these sort of breeders that are registered with a kennel club, etc. Is there an initiative in the United States that are going to either do what Britain's done and banned all selling in puppy stores and puppy mills? I know you're saying some states have, etc. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, and just going back to what you said, yes, the genetics of the puppy is something of concern in these situations. They're not necessarily matching dame and sire together to make, to better the breed. It's more of a pump out the puppies so that we can turn a revenue or turn a profit. And so, yes, that part of it is bad, but we also have to think about those puppies that go on. Yes, some do have health issues that unfortunately the adopting owners or the purchasing owners may not know about. Then they end up getting stuck with the medical bills. But I think the ethical situation with the whole thing and why we look down upon it is those breeder animals, right? So the dame and the sire that are stuck in these cages and their job is solely to pump out puppies, right? Mm-hmm. And they're not necessarily getting the same veterinary care or the same husbandry. So fresh food, fresh water, clean cage, those kinds of things, shelter. Mm. And so I think that's more of the issue than per se the puppy that gets adopted out. But getting to your point, yes, there has been some movement on this, especially in the last couple of years. There's a lot of like local municipalities who have outlawed the sale of puppies within certain pet stores. Okay. There's a couple out there. I'm not going to name them in particular that routinely get puppies from puppy mill situations. So high number breeding. And so a lot of local municipalities have banned this practice, but even on the state level, now we're seeing some movement And so I know of three states in particular, California being the first, as they always are, that outlawed it statewide. And so in these pet stores, you can no longer legally sell puppies that come from puppy mills or these breeding situations. Some of the others, so Maryland was the second, and then the third, I believe, was New York State. They've also put language in the bills to encourage the sale of rescue and shelter dogs in these situations. Mm-hmm. So you can't get them from a puppy mill type situation, but you can pull them from shelters and sell those. Okay.
So when George and I went to a pet store, it was the first time I had been to a pet store over here, and was very surprised to see that they were selling dogs, because in my lifetime, I can't remember ever seeing that back home. But I asked the saleswoman a question, because she said that anybody can come in and buy a dog. And I said, do you do any checking of the family? Because when you adopt a rescue dog, they do enhanced checking.
Very thorough, yeah.
So it's easier to get a dog from a pet store. And she said, oh, we've never really had any problems. And I said, but how would you know that? Yeah. So it seems as though they're not too concerned with where they're coming from or where they're going to.
And also, I read in that if you buy from a breeder and compared to buying from a pet shop, you have problems, behavior problems with the puppy, because they're taken away from their sort of litter. They have social issues with that sort of thing. And also with toilet training, because they're sort of kept in cages and they're going to the toilet in their cage, they don't get used. It's harder to toilet train them. So they come straight away. You're getting a puppy from a shop, which, yes, it's easier because you can get the puppy you want just down the road, but it comes with more issues as it goes along.
It seems so sad. I felt really sad when I saw them.
Yeah, and the other thing on that too is that, yes, they come and they're not necessarily, they don't necessarily have anything, any foundation in training, but more so than that, a lot of these puppy mills are not giving them their first vaccines, right? So there is a window of susceptibility when these puppies, after they've taken mother's milk and they have some protection against viruses, there is a time point at which that wanes, in which case certain vaccines are very important, specifically things like parvovirus or distemper virus, which are very common in unvaccinated puppies. This is why your vet, when you bring your puppy in, there's a series of vaccines, just like a human child, that confer some sort of protection. And so, whereas when you're getting a dog from a breeder, for the most part, especially if it's a reputable breeder, they usually will have at least taken care of the first set of vaccines. They've hit the puppy right when it has broached that window of susceptibility. Whereas when you're getting them from a farmed mill, whose job is to sort of pump the puppy out, get it into the facility, a lot of times they're skipping those vaccines. And that means that those puppies, as they're being transferred and as they're being put in those cages and those little bins that you guys saw at the pet shop where they're interacting with other dogs, they're spreading virus, they're spreading infection. Someone comes in, adopts them, and then a week later, 2 weeks later, we end up with fulminant disease.
Do you think it's gonna, like, will the US, like California, New York, and Maryland, do you think there will be a countrywide ban, or do you think, because I know, like, I'm
not in this political climate, I don't know that there's going to be any sort
because
of
because certain states such as Missouri, that's where the most puppy mills are. So when I did some research on it, and the load of puppy mills are in Missouri,
absolutely.
So you're not gonna, that's gonna be sort of an income.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks for that, Trevor. And it's interesting, we'll be monitoring that and seeing how that goes. But that was Dog in the News. In this week's Dog in the Spotlight, we're going to be looking at the Golden Retriever. And when I say the Golden Retriever to Laurie and Trevor, you gave quite a muted response. Why is that?
I mean, it's a lovely dog. It's just a kind of run-of-the-mill. It's lovely, but run-of-the-mill.
Yeah. We'll talk about it later, but yeah, I've got a skewed vision of these dogs.
It's a dog you see all the time. So
very common.
I think
common.
As a puppy, they're really cute, but I'm just like, okay, a dog. It's not unique enough, if you see what I mean.
No, but that doesn't take away from it. It's just that we've had some really unusual out there breeds, and I know this is a really beloved dog by the nation, and I'm just thinking...
Ooh, and to be honest, actually, I think we're probably a bit spoiled with it because it is a gorgeous breed.
Yes.
And
there's a reason
why
it's so popular. I mean, it's one of the top breed.
And
I'm sure you're going to talk about that.
Yeah, and it's one of the top breed for many, many years. And it's such a versatile dog, a family dog. And it's got quite an interesting history. So we've got to thank the Golden Retriever for a Scottish guy, Lord Tweedmouth, and his real name was Dudley Mungory Banks.
I'm not sure which is worse.
I know.
Tweedmouth
or Mungory Banks. Anyway, the same guy. Anyway, so he developed the breed in 1860 on the Loch Ness, and he was a real hunter, and he wanted a gun dog that would be able to retrieve sort of fowl and those sorts of things. And so he bred... a golden or yellow retriever, a now extinct breed, a Tweed water spaniel, and an Irish setter and a bloodhound to produce what we have today, the Golden Retriever. And he is bred for trainability, bred for to retrieve, and really your ideal gun dog of its day. And it was registered by the British Kennel Club in 1908 and the American Kennel Club in 1925. And from the get-go, it was an extremely popular breed because it was so versatile and it had a great temperament. And we're going to look more about the temperament as it goes on, because the temperament actually has changed over the years. Now, as we mentioned before, it's an extremely popular breed, partly because it's very trainable. We see it as blind dogs, a therapy dog, etc. Obedience, it's brilliant. And Stanley Coren said it is the fourth most intelligent dog breed.
Oh, wow.
Sorry, that's what the fourth most intelligent dog breed is the third most popular dog breed in the US. What's so good about this dog? It's renowned for having what we call a soft mouth. Do you know what a soft mouth is?
No, but does that mean it doesn't hurt us? It doesn't bite?
Or? I think they do bite for sure. But I think it means, so they're bred for fowl. So I would imagine it means that they're not crushing what they're retrieving.
Correct. So if you give a golden retriever a raw egg, sort of an egg which hasn't been boiled in a shell, it won't break it. So they're known as soft mouth.
Wow.
And that's come, as you say, from the retrieving of waterfowl, such as ducks, etc. And they don't want them crushing or digging their sort of teeth into the flesh. So when
you do see them always retrieving things like newspapers, and you get all the videos where they get beer out of the fridge for the owner and stuff. You know what I mean? And so they do have soft mouths.
And the beer gets them intact.
Yeah, and that's what they're bred for, retrieving. They're renowned for their soft mouth. Mm-hmm. However, the problem with their soft mouth, they're renowned chewers. So when I was younger, we had a golden retriever called Harvey. And when I say it chewed everything. So I didn't remember it that well. I think it was three when I left, but we still hear stories about Harvey chewing up the lino, chewing up the shed. And my parents, in the end, and we're going to talk about the breeding, it was a quite neurotic dog, and we're going to talk about how their temperament has changed over the years. But one of the things, on their last day, because they couldn't cope with the dog, they had four children, they're working full-time, they ended up giving it to a farm. Actually, it was in Wales, funny enough. And so on the last day, they put a muzzle round it to stop it chewing. And they came back from work and it had already chewed through the muzzle.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah, and they chew, because of their soft mouth, they need to chew.
Okay.
It's that sort of, you're constantly stopping yourself from doing something. So then you need to relieve. And that's how they did the chewing. Also, they're really known for being low barkers. They don't bark a lot. So again, we're talking about apartment dogs. Mm. Maybe not the exercise why, but low barking, they're pretty good in that sense. Temperament, as I said before, extremely trainable. They're eager to please. They're extremely intelligent. That's why you see them in all the, they're your top guide dog. And they're the first actual dog in the US to be known as an obedience dog, come under the obedience category. So they're excellent in that sense.
What characteristics does it have to show to be an obedience dog?
I guess the trainability, the fact that it's so eager to please and it wants to, and also there are dogs that are eager to please, but they don't have the intelligence to follow commands, but they have both.
Okay.
But now we're going to look at sort of the breeding side. So as a whole, if I talk about their temperament, they're very versatile. They're known as the family dog. You know, you see the 2.4 children and the golden retriever. Mm-hmm. You know, it fits that bill. And it became extremely popular from the 1970s onward because Gerald Ford had a dog called Liberty when he was the president.
Nice
and
name.
It really got popular there. And it was known as the family dog. And as we've looked at a number of episodes, when the dog becomes more popular, the breeding demand comes up. And that's when, as we've just spoken about in the dogs in the news, the breeding becomes a bit backdoor breeding. They're not doing it correctly. There's inbreeding, which causes health issues, which Trevor will go through. And also it causes temperament issues and characteristics. Now, unfortunately, this dog, even though it's got such a soft nature and renowned for its soft nature, it is the third most reported dog that bites. And I don't think that's actually natural of the breed itself. I think that's down to temperament. I think that's down to breeding.
And I also think, yeah, and I would also say that probably on that is, again, we have to go back to the fact that this is one of the most common breeds in America. So there's more dogs out there. Because I will say, being on the veterinary side, if you're going to have a dog that bites, it's going to bite at the veterinary clinic. And this is a dog where I would say 90% of these dogs come in, and this is not a breed that we're concerned are going to bite. But you are correct when we get into the breeding. Now, because it's a popular breed, everyone thinks their dog is the perfect dog and they want to perpetuate that. And so there's a lot of backyard breeding with this. And we have seen the temperament change. And I have seen some vicious Goldens. And when I say vicious, I mean there are certain dog breeds out there that we, as they come in, we know to be on guard for them. But when you've met a mean Golden, you never forget a mean Golden. They can be very bad.
I think it's because it's such juxtaposition. Because they've got this reputation of being such a lovely family dog, you're shocked that...
some degree of that. Guard. Yeah, they do. Yeah. But again, I want to underscore that 90% of these dogs are wonderful dogs as far as their temperament goes, but it has changed.
Yeah. And I think it also comes down to the breeding of the health side. Now, when I mentioned to Trevor we're doing the Golden Retriever, because we have had a lot of requests to do the Golden Retriever, and we were talking about life expectancy. I've got a friend, Kathy, who had a dog that lived till 14 years old or 15 years old. And years ago, that would have been a life expectancy that would have been probably an average for the Golden Retriever. And the American Kennel Club puts its life expectancy to 10 to 12 years. And do you want to explain a bit more about that and go on to the health reasons?
Yeah, again, and I think some of this is just due to the fact that there is more backyard breeding now. And so we've kind of moved away from trying to select for the best of the breed. And we've sort of mixed the genetics a little bit. But yeah, from a health standpoint, most veterinary professionals would probably agree that this is an expensive dog. This is a dog that at some point in its life, it's going to develop something, some sort of disease process. It's probably going to cost you money. The biggest things we think about with this breed is cancer. So I've read a couple of reports out there of prevalence, and prevalence studies are difficult in general, but the prevalence of cancer in this breed being over 50% in most of the studies. So 60, sometimes 70% is reported as the ultimate cause of death in this breed, whether that's via euthanasia or death, is cancers. And the types of cancers they get tend to be pretty aggressive. So they get things like lymphoma, which most people have heard of, but they also get osteosarcomas, which is a tumor of bones that we see in a lot of the large breed dogs. And then as a cardiologist, I see these dogs quite frequently for a very, very aggressive cancer called hemangiosarcoma. And this is a tumor of blood vessels. And if you think about cancers and how they metastasize or spread throughout the body, they oftentimes do so via the bloodstream or the lymphatics. They sort of act like a roadmap to the body. And so as a cardiologist, I see these dogs frequently. I was just saying that on Wednesday and Thursday of this week, I ended my day with a Golden Retriever that came in both days for sort of acute onset of lethargy weakness. And it turns out both of these dogs had hemangiosarcoma of the heart. And that is extremely common in the breed, unfortunately.
So say if you wanted to buy, like you're thinking of purchasing a dog, a Golden Retriever, and you've mentioned all these health issues, is there anything you can suggest or do to try and reduce the chances of these health issues?
Unfortunately for the cancers, for the most part, no. Most of them are believed, especially given the prevalence, that these are genetic in origin. And so unfortunately, it's something that is already bred into the dog. Same thing with subaortic stenosis. The last one, however, the last disease process, which is also cardiac, and I promise I'm not completely biased. This is also just kind of looking into it. This is what the dogs are known for. There's a huge investigation going on right now into something called dilated cardiomyopathy. You've probably seen it in your social media feeds. It's all over the news. The FDA has since 2018 has been investigating a lot of the dog food companies because we as cardiologists are starting to see a disease process called dilated cardiomyopathy, which is a phenotype we see on the echocardiogram where the heart gets enlarged and it starts to contract poorly. And eventually the dogs go into heart failure. They start having arrhythmia. So in vet medicine, since I've been in this since 2004, it is interesting to take a step back and look. And every 5 years, there's a new craze that goes through. Initially, it was olive oil, and then we went through a tea tree oil thing where everyone's putting tea tree oil on all their foods because it had magical properties. And then we moved on to grain-free, and then we now have moved on to raw diets, and we're getting into everyone wants to give their dogs CBD oil, okay? And so all of these things, for the most part, and some of the things we're looking into, like CBD oil, but most of these things have not been... There's no science behind the efficacy in the things that people are feeding these things for.
And with your saying about proper diet, you're saying about kangaroo and stuff. With it, what would you recommend just to feed your dog? Like what if you say, right, you don't need all this fancy stuff, just feed
them.
What
is it that they should be having?
Yeah, this is what I tell owners, and owners always are shocked when I tell them. The dog food brands that the FDA is recommending and what we're recommending as cardiologists are those dog food brands that have nutritionists employed on staff. So veterinarians and nutritionists that are looking at the ingredients and follow what are called WASAVA guidelines. And these are sort of things that have been researched in dogs to say, okay, this is a dog and it needs this much taurine in its daily life. It needs this much carnitine in its daily life. And if they're following those guidelines, they're less likely to go on to develop this type of heart disease. And so the major dog food brands are actually what are being recommended now. So things like Purina, Royal Canin, Science Diet, and Iams Eukanuba, these are all dog foods that are widely fed in America. They're the most popular fed dog foods, but they're the ones that are being reported with the least frequency.
Before we go on to anything else, add to the health.
No, that's it. We're done. we should say hip dysplasia. Okay, that should
dysplasia,
get it.
Right,
hip and elbow dysplasia, but at this point, who cares?
Okay, right. So, anyway, before we go on to our favorite part of celebrities and the best dog names or our top dog names, Tara was unavailable to tell us the official countries. So we had James McGarrigle.
This is probably going to be worse.
James. Right. Trevor can get away with saying that.
Although last week we got 0 of 3, so.
So James has actually chosen quite good ones. So we're going to start. And also we have some two listeners with us today. We have Zach and Kathy, who are avid listeners. Kathy has also had a golden retriever called Rose. However, we're gonna. And Zach, have you had a golden retriever?
Yeah.
Oh, what was your golden retriever called?
Lincoln.
That's not Lincoln's
such
a nice name.
Chicago proper. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so Kathy and Zach, you can join in, and I'll feedback your answers. So, what is the official dog breed of? So, if they can't get it, we'll move over to Kathy and Zach. So, Lowry and
it's becoming like
Trevor.
A little studio.
I know. So let's be a bit quicker than the health. Canada. So with Canada, what is the official dog breed of Canada?
Canadian Water Dog.
Okay. No. Trevor.
Duck Trolling Retriever.
No. Kathy and Zach.
Newfoundland.
I was going to say Newfoundland, and that's a good answer. However, it is the most popular breed in the UK and the US.
Labrador.
Labrador. It's the Labrador.
Of course.
South Africa. You should know this, guys.
I was going to say, is this the Rhodesian Ridgeback?
It is the Rhodesian Ridgeback.
Okay.
And New Zealand. If my friend Nick is listening, which I know he doesn't, he he makes out what he does, but I never see it on the feed saying people from New Zealand are listening. However, tell me a New Zealand official dog breed.
Trevor?
It's really hard. I don't think you'll get it. I've never
George,
heard of
can we have
breed.
A hint? Was that a no? No hint.
Oh, no. James is fetching a photograph.
Yeah, James is getting a photo so we can put it on Instagram.
We are very well prepared here for this.
Okay, we give up. No.
No.
No. Zach is doing a PhD, so he obviously knows it. PhD in maths. However,
that'll help him on this podcast.
Do you know what it might be?
No, I had one of those moments where I thought that something came.
He had one of those moments, and it didn't come.
It's falling apart.
So the answer was a Huntaway. I've never heard of a Huntaway.
No.
And it looks it looks a bit, it looks mutt-like with a bit of a mixture between a Rottweiler and a Labrador.
Oh, it doesn't sound very attractive.
It's a Rottweiler, but it looks like a Labrador. But that
would be on our Instagram.
Okay, so
it's predominantly brown. It has tan legs, a tanned face.
I like how if we've never seen it before, we're like, it looks like a mutt.
It does. It has a Rottweiler-y face, medium-sized dog, common looking.
Common,
and we'll put those pictures on Dog in the Spotlight on our Instagram account.
Mm-hmm.
So, If you had a golden retriever, now we've just heard that Kathy had one called Rose, and Zach had one called Lincoln. I really like the name Lincoln.
It's actually inspired my choice now.
Zach, you should have told us after. Anyway, Zach, not to worry. So, the top. Should I tell you the top? I ask you first. So
you do,
Lowry.
So for a girl dog, I would have Lucy as a all-American kind of name of standard girl's name, and then
very standard. Yep.
Yeah, and then for a boy, coming off of what Zach was saying, I would have Theodore, presidential
one,
or Jefferson, another presidentially inspired
Jefferson.
One.
I like those. Yeah, even though it's a Scottish breed, but I like it. carry on, Trevor.
I was trying to think of things that would go with golden, and I came up with Goldie, and then I thought that's a lame name, so I was going to say Han. How about Han? Like Goldie Han?
Oh, Goldie Horn?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Oh, you're going to call it Horn?
Horn
yeah, but Han.
Horn is as in horn and then a horn. Like,
sure, yes, exactly.
Is it Goldie Han?
It's Goldie Horn.
Yeah, Goldie Horn.
It's Goldie Han. Joshua is literally just it's Han, not Horn.
H-A-W-N? Yeah,
no, I thought that was her Welsh
Han.
Accent, but no,
I thought it was Goldie Horn.
Maybe
they pronounce it differently
Solo?
In America.
Okay.
Like Newfoundland.
Yeah, okay. That's a girl. What about a boy?
I would probably say Henri, like Henry, but silent H.
Like, are you taking the context of the dog into this?
Yeah, totally.
It's a very unusual name for
I was caught off guard here. I put so much time into the medicine part.
Too much time. So I would say for me, the boy, I had a dog called Harvey, and I think Harvey, I like the name Harvey, mm-hmm. so I think I would, just for old time's sake, hopefully it doesn't act like Harvey did, but I'd have Harvey. And I think I'd have something like, I do like Lucy or Sophie. I think it's got that sort of soft Sophie look. So, the top boys' names, Cooper, Charlie, and Bailey.
Bailey's nice.
And we have made a decision on Dog in the Spotlight that we are getting fed up with the name Bella being number one. So if Bella is in the top three, we're going to say the top four. And Bella is number one. So we are now going to say Bella obviously is number one. Lucy is number two.
Oh,
that's another common one too.
Cookie.
Get rid of that.
Cookie.
And you said you've had two of these called this at your practice. Sadie.
Oh, yes. The name of my niece. Yes.
Oh, yeah. The name of
four.
Your niece.
I've seen four Sadies in the past month.
Sadie. Now, celebrities that have golden retrievers, a lot have them. Unlike the Hungarian Vizsla, we couldn't find any apart from that one person we never heard of. Adam Levine.
Yes.
His dog is called Charlie, which is on the top list. Chris Colfer from Glee. His dog is Cooper, which is also in the top name, actually. Denise Richards is Tucker. Diana Keaton is Emmy. Emma Stone has one. Gerald Ford had Liberty. Jackie Chan had JJ. Jennifer Garner had Birdie. And Ryan Reynolds had a golden retriever.
Oh.
So, on that note, does the golden retriever make your list of dogs you would have?
Can we specify, because there was some discrepancy between the list of now and the list of in the future?
Do you know what? That's true. So going back to last week's episode where we had the Australian Shepherd dog, and Lowry said she wouldn't have it now, but if she had the house which she's aiming to have with all the kids, she would have one. So let's do it twice. Let's say now, in your situation at the moment, living in an apartment block, which is just literally the same apartment block as me, would you have a golden retriever?
No.
And if you had, that's a very, I
size,
definitely know.
Yeah,
oh,
size, hang
on, sorry,
exercise.
Do you know one thing I forgot to mention? The shedding. And it's a bit like a golden retriever. It does need brushing and it does get matted.
A bit
it has
like
that
Australian
silky,
Shepherd, you mean?
Sorry, an Australian Shepherd is like the golden retriever. It does shed, because I remember when I was younger, it was fur everywhere, a seasonal shedding, and needs a lot of brushing. So that would probably influence you, as Lowry is a graphic designer. Interior designer. What's your Instagram account?
Brick and Blueprint.
Brick and Blueprint.
Mm-hmm,
so take it. So you wouldn't have it now. What about if you had your house in Wales?
I would probably consider this, seeing as it seems to be a dog that a lot of families with young children feel quite safe to have. I know we spoke about temperament issues, but generally it seems like a family dog that is beloved and that is embraced by the whole family and seems to be a nice fit for that lifestyle.
Yep, I would agree. Trevor?
No. Going back to the long hair thing, I'm not into it.
So just for the appearance of the dog, one might say shallow.
Yeah, and there are a lot of energy. So
oh,
yeah,
okay.
They are a lot of energy, yeah. But again, it's. But saying that, they are a lot of energy, and when you read the research, they are a lot of energy. But you do see a lot of older couples with golden retrievers. So anyway, for me, would I go for it? Not in the predicament I'm at the moment, in an apartment. I like big dogs, but it wouldn't be the big dog I'd go for. Because, again, we were talking about the coat colours. You can determine the colour of a coat by its ears. And also, they vary in size so much.
Okay.
So I could go for a smaller golden retriever, because I do tend to go for smaller dogs, and Joshua, being 6'6", likes the bigger dogs. But I could go for a small golden retriever, but it wouldn't be on my top list. But I wouldn't be like, no, I don't want one. I would go for it.
I think that's how a lot of people feel. It's kind of like, yeah, it's a nice dog.
I wouldn't generalize anything a lot of people feel, because it's the third most popular dog.
Third most popular dog, so.
Yeah, a lot of people feel like that. Yeah, I'm going for that. That's Lowry. Anyway, so thank you for that. I'd like to thank Joshua Shepherd, our producer, and I'd like to thank James McGarrigle for making great cups of tea today. Anyway, thanks a lot, and I'll see you in our next episode. And remember to follow us on Instagram at dogin_spotlight_, and subscribe to anything you listen to us on. Goodbye.